message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Tonight we continue our Lenten sermon series based on the Lenten hymn we just sang, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. And as I mentioned earlier, tonight's sermon title is The Wound of Betrayal. I think you all would agree that some physical injuries can be very painful. However, I think you all would also agree that being betrayed by someone who claimed to love you can be more painful than any physical wound. When your loved ones and dearest friends stab you in the back and become your enemies, the emotional and mental pain can be unbearable. Tonight, we will hear about Judas and how he betrayed Jesus. However, we must be very, very careful that we avoid the temptation of standing in self-righteous judgment over Judas as though he was the greatest of all sinners and we are more faithful to Jesus than he was. Remember the words of the second stanza of our sermon hymn? We sang these words, What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor and grant to me thy grace. You know, in the prayerful words of this hymn, we find no self-righteous focus on another's sin while we ignore our own. Instead, in the words of this hymn, we admit that each and every one of us is a Judas who deserves what happened to Jesus. Now, as we learn about Judas this evening, we will be moved to confess the many times that we have also betrayed Jesus. But even more, we will be moved to trust in our Savior, whose sacred head was wounded so that we could be saved from the punishment that our traitorous sins deserve. So what of Judas? Judas was one of Jesus' 12 apostles. Judas traveled many miles and shared many meals with Jesus. Jesus had chosen Judas. Jesus loved Judas. This fact compounded the painful wound that weighed down on our Lord's sacred head and brought him sorrow and grief as he bore the weight of our sin on the cross. On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus said, One of you will betray me. The apostles became sad, and they asked one after another, Is it I, Lord? You know, we too need to ask that question of our Lord. Have I sold you out, Lord? Have I lived for this world and its pleasures and bought into them rather than wanting you and spending time with you and hearing your words of life? Have I lived as if I mattered most and you mattered none at all? Is it I, Lord? Jesus makes it clear, the wound of betrayal that hurts him so deeply is not made by those who are distant from him. Oh no. The wound of betrayal that hurts him so deeply comes from one who claims to love him. Jesus said, He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. However, do not think for one second that the Lord's love for Judas was altered by Judas's betrayal. In the Psalms, it says the following about our Lord. It says, "The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made." That means Jesus went to the cross to save Judas, too. Jesus loved this man who would go his own senseless way. Jesus loved this man who would first despise and turn from Jesus' love, and then later despair of God's grace because he refused to trust in Jesus as his Savior from sin. In our reading from Acts, Peter said that Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas. Peter then goes on to quote from Psalm 69 and Psalm 109, both Psalms of King David. He then applies those scriptures to Judas. So what's going on here? Does this mean that from all eternity, God planned for Judas to be damned? Does this mean that Jesus didn't love Judas and that Jesus didn't die for Judas's sin of betrayal? No. You see, the Psalms that Peter quotes actually speak about unbelievers who were persecuting the godly King David, from whose family line the Savior would come. The point of these Psalms is that just as unbelievers persecuted King David because of his faithful witness to God, in the same way, unbelievers will persecute the Messiah, the Son of David and the Son of God. He will ultimately face persecution from those who refuse to trust in him. So just as those Psalms condemned the traitorous unbelievers in David's day, those Psalms also ultimately apply to Judas, who betrayed the one who died to save him. These Psalms of David teach us that God's wrath will ultimately come upon those who reject Christ and refuse to repent. But the point of these Psalms is that this does not have to be the fate of unbelievers. Scripture clearly teaches that when God moves unbelievers to repent, when he moves them to trust in Jesus, they can receive forgiveness and eternal life in God's love. That means when somebody is damned, it's not because God planned for their damnation, it's because in their stubborn hard-heartedness, they pushed away God's love and sealed damnation for themselves. If you recall our gospel reading, the Apostle Peter would also be guilty of betraying Jesus by denying him no less than 3 times. And so Peter was just as sinful as Judas. The difference between Peter and Judas was not that Judas was guilty of a greater sin. The difference is that Peter confessed his sin and then trusted in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Sadly, even though Judas later did acknowledge his guilt, he refused to trust in Jesus as his Savior from his sin of betrayal. Judas remained an enemy of God because he refused to believe that Jesus was the Savior that God had sent for all sinners, including him. In our gospel reading, Jesus said, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Now please understand something. Jesus was not smiling when he said those words. Jesus did not speak those words out of hatred or anger or any such thing. In fact, he spoke those words from the depth of his breaking heart. He knew that Judas would end his life in unbelief, and that fact broke our Lord's heart even more than the betrayal itself. How little Judas understood the Jesus he betrayed. For it was also for the sin of Judas, and the sin of all of us Judases, that our Lord stretched out his hands on the cross and let them pound in the nails. It was for the sin of Judas, and for all of us Judases, that the Son of God prayed these words, "Father, forgive them." It was for the sin of Judas, and for all of us Judases, that the sacred head of our Lord was wounded. As we sang in our sermon hymn, "Mine, mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain." In our reading from Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul teaches that we are all guilty of countless sins against God. Every time we choose to sin, we betray the fact that we love ourselves more than Jesus. Every time we choose to sin, we betray the fact that we trust ourselves more than Jesus. Every time we sin, we betray the fact that we are God's enemies who deserve nothing but His wrath. Therefore, each and every one of us could be called Judas. Paul says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then, Paul goes on to say that we sinful traitors are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And so those who repent of their sin and trust in Jesus as their Savior have complete forgiveness of all their sins and the hope of eternal life in God's love. This good news changes our hearts, my friends, and gives us the desire to live for Jesus and be faithful to His will for our lives. Even though our sinful betrayal wounds our Lord's tender heart, the fact is, our sin can never turn His heart into one of bitterness. In Jesus' heart lives a love too great, too strong, too mighty for bitterness and anger to ever conquer it. Although our sinful betrayal hurt Him and hurt like hell itself, Jesus goes right on loving us. Loving Judas, loving you, loving even me. In addition, in the wounds of the crucified Jesus, we discover a love that sets us free to love others as we have been loved. And do you know what that means? Following Jesus means that we will love others even though they may betray us. Sometimes you are betrayed when you loved others, aren't you? Instead of your love being returned, it's rejected. Such betrayal hurts and wounds in an unspeakable way. You're crushed and you're reduced to tears. And what happens then? In that moment, our sinful nature rises up with indignation and anger and bitterness, and we want to get even. But by the strength of Christ's cross, by the power of our baptism into His love, you get to nail your sinful desires to the cross and then say, "No. By the power of Him who forgave me, even when I have betrayed Him so many times, I will forgive others. By the power of Him who loved me, I will love others, even though they hurt me." Now I know this is not the way of our sinful nature. I know that all too well. But through through Jesus, we get to put our sinful nature to death by the power of our baptism, so that our new self that God created can arise every day and live a life of forgiveness and love. As forgiven Christians, we get to share in the mercy and love of our Savior. And we do this when we forgive and love even those who have betrayed us. When we go on forgiving them, and when we go on loving them, we begin to understand what it was like for those first Christian martyrs. Those Christian martyrs who were put to death by unbelievers who hated Jesus. And yet those same Christian martyrs like Jesus prayed for the salvation for the very people who were condemning them to death. Only the love of Jesus can give us the ability to do that. Tonight, we receive the gift of our Lord's Supper. Whenever we receive this gift, we celebrate the love of Jesus, our Savior, which is stronger than all of our sinful betrayals. Here we receive a love that He gives us freely in the very body and blood that won forgiveness for Judas, for you, and for all sinners. And as we continue to receive the undeserved mercy and love of Christ, I promise you, we will be moved slowly but surely to show love and mercy to others, even those who may betray us. In fact, when others see the love and mercy in our lives, they may ask us, why? Why do you love and forgive me when I have treated you so horribly? And then we point them to Jesus, whose sacred head was wounded for us traitors, that we might live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our wounded Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace.